Father God, we thank you. God, we thank you that you have called us to rise up as believers, Father, to rise up and to walk in victory. Father, that you've called us to walk up and not fight for victory, but fight from a position of victory, to live from a position of victory. So God, we thank you for that. We thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross so that we can have victory today. Thank you, God, that we can be, as we talked about last week, citizens of heaven while living here on earth, and that we can experience all the gifts of heaven here on earth today. God, we thank you that we can enjoy living life in your presence and not living a life of fear, of condemnation, of fighting for righteousness, God, but we are righteous because of your son, Jesus, and we thank you for that. We thank you for that righteousness that is as a gift. God, we pray today that you would soften hearts and that we would have a new perspective today given to us and talked about, and that your Holy Spirit would speak to us. God, that you would just encourage us and build us up. Father, we pray for those families that aren't able to join us today, God, wherever they might be, whether working or wherever. Father, we pray that your hand would be upon them, Father, as they watch online, as they listen online. God, I pray that their hearts and their minds would be renewed. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Thank you, music team. So welcome to Sunday Church. We're glad to have you, as I said earlier. And we're in our series today called Citizenship. Where is your citizenship held? As believers, we should be holding our citizenship as citizens of heaven, and we're just visiting here on earth. We're just ambassadors of Jesus here on earth. And in the first week of the series, we talked about, are you conformed or are you transformed? And it left us with the question, have we transformed our lives? Or the challenging question was, are we still conformed to this world? And then last week, we talked about the kingdom, and in particular, the kingdom of heaven, which when we become a believer is something that is available to us today. And heaven isn't something we have to wait for, to die for, and then get into heaven. We don't have to wait for that experience. We can experience heaven today, the benefits of heaven today in our lives here on earth. And I think that's something pretty amazing as a believer to experience, that we're just holding, we're citizens of heaven holding an ambassador or visiting here at this outpost of earth. And as a new covenant church, as new covenant believers, this idea of citizenship is key. It's a tough word for me to say. I don't know why. But today I want to talk to you about the world that you believe in. The world that you believe in. And more specifically to that, as you take up residency in this world, in this planet, do you believe in the world that you believe in? Are you because you're stuck in the world that you believe in. And we'll talk about that more. But it seems like today there are a lot of people trying to prophesy the future of our planet. There's tons of people out there doing it. They're talking about what it's going to look like. Where are we going? What's happening? And even if they aren't believers, they are trying to convince us that things have changed forever. The people of the world, the media, the news, they're trying to convince us that the world has changed forever. And that this is the new normal. This is the new way of things going to be. And I'm sorry, but that's not the fact. And I hate that term. And I use that voice angrily because it makes me mad that we as a society, we as the church have bought into this idea that this is the way it's going to be now. This is the new normal. Oh, it's the new normal. I'm sorry. And if you've bought into that lie, I would ask that you throw it out of your mind. Because that is not what we are called to do. And I want us to challenge that way of thinking. I want us to challenge this idea that the media and the people around us, the world, have put into our heads as the church. And we have bought in hook, line, and sinker. And last week we talked a bit about what does it mean to be in a democracy, and And this really is going to tie into that a little bit. See, only Jesus and God know the future. And you're stuck in the world you believe in. So you are declaring and prophesying things, and you start declaring and prophesying negativity and the new normal, things of that nature, over your life today. You're stuck in the world you believe in. Too few Christians have worked the process that we have spoken a lot about lately. Taking the born-again experience, the experience of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and continually walking and moving into a stronger, greater belief system, changing every area of our life. There's not enough believers that have done this. They cross the line and accept Jesus, and they go no further. They say, oh, that's good. I've crossed the line. I'm good. Yay. Going to heaven. But rather than that, they can step into a greater lifestyle, a greater way to live, and a greater thought process than what they could have even imagined by walking out this experience and this lifestyle that Jesus has called us to do. And the Bible says that we must have an established heart in order to do this. So what do we believe about this process? See, too many people that accept Jesus in their life believe that serving God is so hard. That growing in faith is so hard. Oh, I'm just going to do my part. Just going to live out each day. Just gonna? That's not what we do as believers, is it? We're just gonna? Oh, I'm just gonna do this. I'm just gonna try to make it to tomorrow. What? I'm sorry. See, I want to say something. I want to say that the idea behind that is ridiculous and in itself is a belief system that too many believers have started to believe in. Rather than believing the promises of Scripture and believing what Jesus has said in His Word. Too many of us in this room probably have bought into this ridiculous, silly belief system. And I say that with all due respect. So for you to believe that, you cannot change. I'm going to tell you that right now. If that's the belief system you're in, you can't change until you shake that out and throw it out. Don't tell me things like, well, I'm just going to pray. Just going to pray. I wouldn't tell you just to pray. See, the problem with many of us is we want this magic prayer and poof, everything goes away and gets better. Or we blame the devil for everything. Right? Have you heard that? Everybody wants to blame the devil. The devil before the cross and the devil after the cross are two completely different things. See, the kingdom of darkness before the cross and the kingdom of darkness after the cross, totally different. And that's what so many people miss. And Jeremiah 13:23 says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard its spots? Then you might also do good who are accustomed to do evil. So let's read that again. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard change his spots? What's the answer to that? No, they can't. So likewise, people cannot change their nature. They cannot change how they are. And from the Garden of Eden or the fall of man to today, there is a nature on the inside of man, the fallen nature that mankind is dealing with, okay? Which gives the desires of the body and the misbeliefs of the mind, it gives us tremendous power in people's lives. And as we talk today, I want to show you how easy yet powerful this process we talked about not too long ago, this process of putting off the old man and putting on the new man, okay? That's what I want to talk about a little bit today. And as we spoke about, too many people think that they have two natures. A nature of life and good, and then this nature of sin. And we know that's not true. We've talked about this a few weeks ago. They think these two natures are at war. How many have watched Flintstones or the Jetsons where they got... Anybody watched Flintstones? Am I making myself sound old? Right? And you remember Fred with the angel head and Fred with the... whatever, the pitchfork. And like this is that battle here. But we know that's not true as believers. When we accept Christ, that old nature dies. That old nature goes away. And these natures are not at war in us. And when you think that way, you're making a huge mistake. And we give the devil this incredible belief system about how powerful he is. And the Bible tells us that one day you will see how really pathetic Lucifer really is. See, people have given Lucifer this far too much power. And I think we need to understand, and we need to come to a realization, he has no power over us as believers. The church has given him so much power. Everything is a demon, or everything is because of the devil. And because of that, because of us giving him so much power, the church has been stopped. Not because we don't have power, not at all. It's because we don't understand how to walk out the power that Jesus has given us, this incredible life that we have because of Jesus. That's why the church has been stopped. That's why the church does not press forward as we sit back and say, oh, the devil's got us. He's got us into a corner. No, he doesn't. In Colossians 2, 11 to 13, we read this. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So there's a teaching here that a sign of someone who is in covenant with God in the Old Testament is that you would circumcise the males, right? We all understand this. Doesn't sound like a pleasant process, does it? We don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about that. But we understand the process, right? Before I turn red and get embarrassed. But this is crucial. See, when you gave your life to Jesus and you were born again, there was something that was cut off and thrown away. And that is this nature of sin, the power that flesh had over people. Evil desires, addictions, things like low self-worth or anger or fear and rejection. And stuff that many church people still struggle with, actually. The power of that was cut off, okay? The power of those things was cut off when we accepted Jesus. This may seem like a weird thing to say, but if you're going to do a circumcision, oh, I'm going to get myself red and embarrassed. Do you want to do it slowly or do you want to do it quickly with precision? I'm thinking quickly with precision. I don't know. Just a hunch. You want to do it quickly. And when you gave your life to Jesus, he came into your spirit, man, and he made you alive just like that. It wasn't let's just take a little off the top. I'll take a little more. I'm going to stop. I'm making myself uncomfortable. You want it done quickly, don't you? You want this work of the Father to be done in you quickly. And when you gave your life to Jesus and he came in, he made you fully alive and you were born again. You have a new nature, and that is such a powerful piece. It is as Jesus is right now. You are right now on this planet. And if you have given your heart to Jesus and there is this power on you, power in you from the inside, that is Jesus. But in most cases, there's an issue still. Did you know that? In most cases, you've got this power in you, and it's just ready to go in Jesus. But the problem is this. The issue is this. You don't believe it. And I want us to begin working through the process that the Bible teaches. I want you to rise up with such victory. And this victory is not hard to rise up. It's not hard to do. Jesus said his yoke was easy and his burden was light, right? And this is referring to a teaching in those days. He was taking on his teaching. And Jesus is saying, what I'm teaching you is not like the Pharisees and Sadducees, who was so hard, almost nobody could do their legalism. And when you read Colossians 2, 12 to 13, says this, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the work of God who has raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with them, having forgiven you all trespasses. So when you believed on Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you were made alive with him, Jesus himself came into your heart, something that is not earned. You don't have to clean up your life first to give your life to Jesus, do you? Anybody ever read that in the Bible? No, doesn't say that. It says, come as you are. He came for the sick. And too many people think when they go to church, they have to get their life in perfect order before they can do that. Too many people think, oh, you know, I'd love to come. I'd love to come to church, but yeah, I'm just such a mess right now. It's like saying I'd love to go to the movies, but I don't have my popcorn or my pop, so I just can't go. Do you know what I mean? Where do you get your popcorn and pop? You get it from the theater. You don't get it and bring it with you. You get it there. You don't come here expecting to be perfect when you get here. I don't, okay, first off, I don't like popcorn, but M&Ms, let's say M&Ms, okay? But you come here and don't expect to come here and be perfect when you get in the door, and then, oh yeah, I'm going to accept Jesus now. He is the one that makes us righteous. He is the one that makes us whole. It's nothing we do on our own. There's still stuff that we need to deal with before we go to church. There's still stuff I need to deal with before I come to Rosetown Community Church. And that's, here's another example. I want to take my truck in for an oil change and a service, right? Because it's making a funny noise. So I got to go to Mainline. But I don't want to go to Mainline until I get rid of that noise, right? And you get yourself in this stupid loop. You know, I have some squeaky brakes and this loud exhaust, so I need to deal with that before I can bring it in to get them to fix my truck. Right? How does that work? And Scripture tells us in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. See, you can't clean up your life first before coming to Jesus. Can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. You need him. So come as you are, as messed up or as perfect as you think you might be, and come as you are and accept Jesus as you are and allow him to do the work. Allow him to do the circumcision. Allow him to do the clipping and the pruning. I'm not saying if you accept Jesus, never mind. I don't want to go there. You know where I'm going, Kat. I think I'm red now. But whichever you are, if you're messed up or perfect, you come and you accept him because you can't earn this born-again experience. To believe, that is to never receive it. If you believe that, you never receive it. You need to receive him and allow him to do the work. And you can never earn your born-again experience. And to try to is to be stuck in religion. You can't earn salvation. You can't do enough good penance to earn salvation. There are too many people who attend churches and try hard to obey the Bible. And they're so stuck in religion. And they have never been born again or never experienced the life that Jesus can bring. You can't just sit in a church and expect that you're born again without accepting on Jesus and believing on Jesus. It's like sitting in a car doesn't make you a garager. There's that old joke. I make myself sound old when I say this, but it's not like sitting at McDonald's makes you a hamburger or a Big Mac, right? Sitting in church and listening to me doesn't make you a Christian. It's this gift of salvation that Jesus has given us, as free gift, actually. You don't even need to buy 6 knives to get this free gift either. Well, it's good I have one good one today. But you must simply just believe on Jesus, accept him, and that's when this miracle takes place. And once you do that, your flesh, the selfishness and the desires of your body, which controls too many people because they have to look after themselves. I have to do what's best for me. Have you heard people say that? Too many people in churches want to do this idea of protectionism, and the world want to do this idea of protectionism and look after me. Look, I got to look after number one, this guy. No, you don't. You don't have to make sure you get what you want. You don't have to make sure that the pastor says it how you want it said. You don't have to make sure that this and this and this is in order, right? There has to be 3 candles burning in the front. Oh, I'm out. They only have 2. Oh, Elaine, we just lost 6 people because we only have 2 candles, not 3. You know, it's not like that at all. It's not about me. Whatever the restaurant is that says you get it your way, what is that? Harvey's. Used to say you get it your way and they'd give you all the toppings. It's not like that. You get all of Jesus. You don't need to manipulate things. You don't need to manipulate. See, this flesh of these desires of what you're trying to meet, they're gone when you accept Jesus. And you have been so trained to look after, number one, look after yourself. But see, we got a few points here today. And the first one is this: there is no more power in the flesh or sinful desires when we accept Jesus. There is no more power that the enemy has over you when you give your life to Jesus, when you believe on Jesus. The Bible says sin no longer has dominion. And what does the word dominion mean? It means power and authority, doesn't it? It means the dominion is gone. And if you don't begin to believe that, rather you believe that sin has power over you, that this thing has power over you, that this substance has power over you, that your addiction has power over you, it's impossible to deal with. Your fear will be impossible to overcome. And if you believe that sin is still powerful in your life, then you will continue to sin and just say silly things like that when you have far more authority with that, if with Christ. Oh, well, I'm really glad that God forgave me. I'm glad when I die, I get to go to heaven. But while I'm here on earth, on this planet, on earth, the sin will destroy relationships, the physical body, and your mind. See, we don't have to live like that. We talked about that last week. We don't need to wait for heaven to live with heaven. We get heaven here on earth. And God is trying to help you live this life out in an amazing way. So you have to begin to understand that there is no power in sin or in the flesh. Sin has been dealt with. It is gone. It has no power over you unless you believe it. Because when you believe, or what you believe trumps everything else. If you believe you're sick, it's going to trump everything else. If you believe that you're going to live out this poor life and this hard life and this whatever, that's what's going to start to reign in your life. And if you don't want to believe this grace and this salvation is a gift, then you wander through Christianity from legalistic opinion to legalistic teaching to legalistic churches to legalistic evangelists to legalistic this to legalistic talks to legalistic views, and you never get to walk in the full power and authority that Christ has given you, empowering something that has lost its power happens far too often in the church. Instead, we need to learn that we are alive in Christ. We are alive with Christ. We have Christ alive in us. See, Christianity is not a cross religion. I love the cross. It's important. It's necessary. The cross is critical to our forgiveness. But if you only focus on the cross, you are just forgiven. In Colossians 2:13, it says, if you move past that to the empty tomb, then we know what? We know he made you alive. Sorry, I'm just referencing Colossians 2:13, sorry. We know that he has made you alive. You are not just forgiven, right? Through the work of the cross. See, the old Dave isn't here. The old Dave is not just dead. I'm alive with the life of Christ. I'm alive with the life of Jesus right now. And once I am born again, or once I was born again, it was time to recognize that it is time to die to self. And the Bible says to crucify to self, right? It says to die to your flesh. And what do those terms really mean? It means dying to your own opinion is dying to self. Dying to your opinion is a huge part of dying to self. How opinionated are you? And we all have something to say. We all have an opinion. Oh, well, my sister used to make fun of me and call me Professor Q because I had an opinion on everything. I wanted to make sure everybody knew how smart I was. And I needed to share with everybody my opinion. I still have an opinion on everything, but I don't share it as much. But we all have something to say, an opinion. We need to share something. I just got to get out about what you said that was wrong or what you did that was wrong. I don't like how this was done. I don't like saying this or that or whatever. And we get ourselves in little quarrels and squabbles about silly things that really don't matter. I don't like how you said this or that. Everyone has an opinion, even about what I'm saying right now, probably especially about what I'm saying right now. And people will sift through it and take what they want, and they will just take what they want to make themselves feel good. Or if something I said didn't make them feel good, they're like, well, he's out to lunch. I can't wait to get to the door and tell Dave what I really think as I'm leaving. I don't agree with you, Dave. See, this is something crucial that we need to die to our own opinion is dying to self. And if you continue to maintain your opinion until you are ready to die to your opinion, you will not fully experience the freedom that God has for us, that freedom that Christ has given us. Hebrews 13:9 says, do not let all kinds of strange teachings lead you into the wrong way that take you off course, lead you astray. Your heart should be strengthened, or inner strength, comes from God's grace, not by obeying rules about food. So this is referring to Jewish dietary laws which do not help or have never benefited those who obey them. I need a drink, sorry. See, many of the Jewish people in the New Testament, they struggled with faith and righteousness, and faith righteousness actually as a whole. Meaning they were righteous as a gift rather than obeying a bunch of dietary laws, rather than obeying all these rules and laws. So Paul here is teaching us that wherever you come from, when you accept Jesus, you are born again. And this is so powerful. It's incredibly powerful because this new you in your spirit has gained this power and this authority. The old man, as the Bible calls him, that used to control you, that used to run you, used to lead you, he's dead. He's dead. It has been circumcised off. It's dead. And you need to stop believing that way that you have been trained for so long. Stop believing the habits in your life, the things that controlled you at one time. They've lost their power over your life. And we got to stop giving those things from our past life power and authority in our life today. They've lost their power. And as you look at God's word and recognize that Jesus is in you, that this new nature is a billion times more powerful than any addiction, anything, and any stronghold in your life from the past, you need to realize that. And once you begin to believe the word that the old you loses its power, you won't start to flourish and move forward. Has anybody ever been to a circus? Does anybody know they had circuses? I don't think they have circuses anymore, right? I don't know. But has anybody ever ridden on an elephant at a circus? Am I the only one? You've all seen elephants at circuses, right? So they get these elephants as babies, right? And they're like, I don't know how big a baby elephant is, if it's like that or this. I was small, so I think they're like this big. And what they would do is they would take a rope and tie it around the elephant's foot. And they would take a stake and hammer it in the ground. Right? Are you with me? Are you following me on this? Should I draw it for you? Maybe we should get Nathan up here and I'll take a rope and tie. So they take this baby elephant, and every time that baby elephant would go and clop along, it hit the end of that rope and it would fall down. Right? This is what happens. And this is training, how they would train the elephant to only go so far and to keep it safe and all this and that. So as this elephant grows into this mighty, giant, strong elephant, it's for years of its childhood only known it could go this far and that rope's going to stop him. So as that elephant grows, all that they have to do to this full-grown elephant that is so strong is when they travel, they just tie this little same rope around the elephant's foot and they just put a stake of wood in the ground. It's probably like a surveyor's stake. Something that would not stop an elephant, even if you had a fence post pounded in the ground. It would not stop an elephant. Have you seen an elephant? They knock over big steel cages. And this mighty elephant is so strong, has so much power, and yet this little rope is keeping them captive. When it could easily just walk without that stick and drag it around and probably destroy every building and every tent in that circus. It could probably knock down walls and barriers, and nothing could stop that elephant. And that's a lot like us. You gave your life to Jesus. He lives on the inside of you. And there's nothing more powerful than his grace and this free ability that is within you named Jesus. And this ability is far more powerful than that little stick and rope that you've let hold you captive in bondage for far too long. Far more powerful than any fear of rejection, or more powerful than anger or loneliness or jealousy or sickness or disease or mental illness or financial issues or anything. Is far more powerful than anything. But in order for this grace, this ability to flow out of you, what? It says, by grace you were saved through faith. Ephesians 2, 8 to 9 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, then that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we begin this journey by believing who we are. Too many of us don't. And if you begin to get into the Word and believe who you are, you will be stuck in the world you believe in, which sucks. Until you spend time getting into that Word and actually believing in what He says and what He has given you, the world you live in that's holding you captive sucks. Well, no, it doesn't, Dave. It's pretty good. Boy, I just got this back problem, and I'm so broke, I don't know how I'm going to make my next, and this and that, I'm just begging for this and that, and it doesn't suck. It does suck. But you can live with far more and far greater. You don't need to be stuck in weakness and in addictions and have relationship issues and health issues and mental issues and financial issues. We don't need to continually try to just adapt doctrines and change doctrines and twist the Word. Don't do that. Come as you are, humbly to Him. Come as you are and say, Jesus, I want all of you. Jesus, I want to know who you are so that I can know who I am. I want to understand this great life that you have called us to, Jesus. But it requires us to humbly come and die to self. Die to our opinions and say, here I am, Holy Spirit. Teach me. Teach me on the inside, Jesus. And as I said earlier in this message, this crucial process within all of this is this idea of putting off and putting on. And it's a necessary thing for us to do. And if we didn't do it when we were first accepted Jesus, it's something we need to do today. Something we should be doing frequently. Ephesians 4, 20 and 24 says this, but you have not so learned Christ. So it's one thing to be born again, but then you must start this journey of learning of who Christ is, right? And then verse 21, it goes on to say, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus, right? The truth isn't in Dr. Phil. The truth isn't in Oprah. Does Oprah still have a show? I don't know. She's got her own channel. The truth isn't in CNN or CBC or MSNBC or whatever, all these other crazy things out there. Because it's not in CTV or Global, I know that for sure. The truth is in Jesus. And if we keep reading in verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So all conduct in your former life, you can just put it off. It doesn't say suffer. You don't need to suffer with it. You don't need to carry it around as this big burden. It doesn't say that you need to walk on nails that are all upright and sticking out of a piece of wood or walk on hot coals in order to deal with this. That's not what it says there. It doesn't say years of intercessory prayer or bind the devil and his principalities. It doesn't say that. And we could go on with all sorts of silly, stupid doctrine that has really, really hurt us, the church, the body of Christ. It says you can just put it off. Take it off like a coat or a pair of pants. I'm not going to demonstrate taking off the pants for you. You know what I'm saying when I say take it off. Put it off. Take it off. Take off your former conduct. Take off the things that you used to do. Take off your bad doctrine that has limited the power and authority of Christ in your life. Take it off and put on the full blessings that he has for us. Put off that fear of rejection and put off that fear of man. Put off your low self-esteem. It's as easy as that. Just put it off. Take it off. Easy for me to say. It's not me saying it. It's the word. We just read it. That you put it off concerning your former conduct. The old man which grows corrupt according to this deceitful lust. That's the word, right? Put it off. It's not my words. It's God's word. And then we keep reading that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God, right? Not according to my perspective, not according to my position, not according to what Bill says about me or any my wife says about me. She would only say good things. Bill, I don't know what he'd say. Just kidding. I'm not kidding. But you know what I'm saying, right? It doesn't matter. It's according to what God says. We need to put off the old and put on the new. The new man that was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. See, just getting more information from the Bible doesn't mean that you're putting off the old man and old conduct and putting on the Word of God. Put off and put on is crucial. And this is the very first thing when someone accepts Jesus that they should do. Put off the old conduct, the ways, the emotions, the habits, the thoughts, the fear. How many of us are living with fear in our life today? Maybe we need to go through the process of putting off and putting on. How many of us are living through crazy emotions or bad habits? Maybe we need to put off and put on as Christ has called us to do. We need to put off the old and put on Christ. He is in you, so now put him on. And later the Bible tells us to take thoughts captive, doesn't it? Has anybody read that? Take every thought captive. The enemy will try to play with your mind to have you create new thoughts, new theories, new strongholds that hold you back from everything that Christ has given us in his word. That is something you need to put into practice. Put off and put on. But this idea of putting off and putting on is something so few Christians have done. Have you? We talked about it not too long ago. I think it was 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I've encouraged you guys to do it. And I pray that you've gone through the process. If you haven't already, I encourage you to do it. Because until you put off and put on this new mindset of Christ, you will only have what the world that you live in lets you believe. Because you are in the world you believe. You need to put off your old conduct, your old thoughts, your old beliefs. The things from your past that were one time powerful, those desires that were so so uncontrollable, unstoppable at times it felt. See, the thing is churches will have their people believe that they just need to do their best. Because serving God is so hard. No, it's not. Forget about that. Serving God is not hard. It's the mindset of your mind. Of course, it's the mindset. It's your mind that tells you that it's hard. It's your mind that holds you back from experiencing everything that He has for you. It's your mind that's holding you back because it is the world that you believe. If you believe that, well, forgive me, but welcome to hell. Because that's where you're stuck. You will get to heaven when you die, but for now you're going to live through hell. That's what I said last week. Do you remember that? Until you break those strongholds from your life, until you put off and put on, you're going to be stuck there. Under the control of substances, emotions, attitudes, lifestyle, a belief that has no power over you, but you still believe it does. Put it off. Recognize when you're struggling with something. What emotion is present? You don't just have to put off behavior. You have to put off the emotions. You have to put off that stinking thinking that holds you back, that gives you this, the stuff that gives you this behavioral freedom. It's holding you back from behavioral freedom. You need to put it off and put on this new belief system that Jesus has for you. Why do you act like you do when you're around people? Probably because some of us have fear of rejection. We need to put off and we need to put on this confidence in Jesus. We don't need to be fearful. You don't need to pump up everything you've ever done. You don't need to one-up everyone. Stop with the low self-worth. Once you recognize it, send it off. Get rid of it. Put it off. Put on this new worth in Christ. Low self-worth, get out of here. Take off in Jesus' name. Because I'm a child of God, and He is pleased with me. And I am righteous because of Jesus. Now I'm putting off and putting on Jesus. Now you're declaring and prophesying Jesus over your life, rather than saying, I ain't no darn good. I ain't worth nothing. I don't know why it sounds like a hillbilly when I say that, but you know what I'm saying, right? Far too many of us have just taken on this past belief system that we have lived with, and when we accepted Jesus, we've never put off that belief system and put on the new belief system. It's critical to understanding that we have so much more we need to put off and put on so that we can be in this new world. That we can really fully experience the citizenship of heaven here on earth. James 1:21 says, so put off of your life, so get rid of, lay aside, every evil thing. So things like moral filth and defilement and every kind of wrong, excessive evil. Then in gentleness and humility, accept, welcome God's teaching, His word that is planted in your hearts, which can save you. This is referring to your souls. This is referring to you, the whole person. All of us. And now, as you do that, you can start living life freer. And you can have such a freedom and an amazing life because you are walking with confidence in Christ, because you know the world you believe in. It's not this decrepit old junky world. It is the world that Christ has promised us in His word. An amazing life. And every week you are becoming more you and not just stuck in that old man. That old man's dead and gone. And there's a growth and patience and self-control and joy that is happening to you as you go through this process of putting off and putting on. That's the world you believe in. I'm going to invite Mary up as we close in prayer. But we're not just not the world or the one that the old self had for me. We're not in that world anymore as we put off and put on. And each year of growing in the greatest life I ever had, we get more and more blown away by the goodness of God. See, the process is so critical. It's so crucial. I want us to be a church where we don't just come to church needing this new miracle each week. I don't want us to be a church that, I gotta go to church. I just need a miracle. I just need a miracle. I don't want us to be a church that's like that, okay? Where God, we feel that God needs to intervene at this moment or else something's gonna happen. This new miracle where God intervenes, but that this new life and the Spirit of God within you begins to break and shatter every addiction, every belief will rise up. And will raise up truth of God's word on the inside of you. So you're not just waiting and hoping for that miracle, but your life is now the miraculous life that Christ has called us to. You don't need to go to church and just say, I just need a miracle. But you're living a miracle. Put off and put on. Too many people just have a cross religion rather than this new relationship in Jesus Christ, rather than this new powerful relationship with Jesus Christ. And I pray each day we continue to walk in this new life, in this new relationship that He has called us to, rather than a cross relationship. I pray that each day we die to self. And I pray that you go through the process of putting off and putting on with Him. Because until you do that, you're going to be stuck in that old world. And you can't. You can't be. If you want to experience everything there is to do with citizenship, you need to put off and put on. If you want to experience citizenship of heaven here on earth today, you need to put off and put on Jesus. You can't just sit there and say, I'll pray about it. It'll be good. But you need to put off and put on Jesus. It's just not a matter of, I guess if He wants me to have it, guess if He wants me to do this. No! This is a partnership. We are in partnership with Jesus. Are we not? Have we not spoken about this? This is not about just putting your feet up and waiting for Him to do the work. You need to put off and put on. Maybe the Holy Spirit stirred you today. If you don't know Jesus, maybe you know Jesus and you've kind of been on the sidelines. You've been on the perimeter of the field, and you're ready to jump on and play ball. You're ready to jump on and join Team Jesus and be a full functioning member of the team that is in the right world, and you're believing the good things that Jesus has said. You aren't believing that stuff of the old, or you're tired of believing the stuff of the old man, but you want to jump in with both feet and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm going to invite you to pray with us. And if you know Jesus, I'm going to ask that you just repeat this prayer after me. And I want, if you don't know Jesus, I want you just to pray this prayer with us with your whole heart and just repeat after us. It's nothing, no special words. It's just regular words. But it's just a declaration to Jesus that I'm in. I'm in. So like I say, for those of you that know Jesus, would you just repeat with us as well, just so that those that don't know Him and are accepting Him into their hearts, that they would feel more comfortable. So just repeat after me. Dear God, thank You for sending Jesus to die in my place and take every punishment and curse from me. Thank You, Jesus, for coming into my life, for setting me free. So Jesus, from today on, I'm chasing after You. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's awesome. If that was you and you accepted Jesus for the first time today, whether you're watching online or here in person, I invite you to contact me. I'd love to give you a Bible. I'd love to connect you. If you're not from town, I'd love to connect you with a good Bible-based church wherever you might be. We have connections all over the world. I'd love to connect you with our church if you're from town here. So just connect with me. You can talk to me. You can email me at lead@rosechurch.ca. You can call the church, 306-882-2453, or message me on Facebook on the comments if you're that excited and you want to share with the world. We'd love you to do that. But we want to just connect with you and just talk to you about next steps in your faith and about this process of putting off and putting on. And if you're here right now and maybe you're struggling with this idea of putting off and putting on, and you're really struggling with, you know, whatever it might be, whether it be an addiction, a sickness, and that you're really just holding on and latching on because you just don't have whatever it is that is stopping you. If something's holding you back, if your belief system is holding you back, I want to encourage you to just join us in prayer right now. And for the rest of us, we're just going to pray. But we want as a church for us each to go through this process of putting off and putting on. Put off the old man and put on Jesus. It's a much better way to live life. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We love you. God, for those of us that are just not living in the world that you have called us to live, if we're not living in this freedom that you've called us to live, if we're not walking in your blessings, if we're not walking in your promises, God, I pray, Father, that we would put off ourselves and put on you, put on Jesus. And I pray that as we put off and put on, as we go through this process and as we die to self, God, that you would reveal yourself more to us, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us and speak to our hearts, and that we would start living a life full of authority, and that we would stop believing the lies of the enemy, because he has no power for us. So thank you for the victory that Jesus brought to us on the cross through his death, his burial, his resurrection, and ascension. Thank you for the power and authority that we can live life in. Thank you that we don't have to be defeated, but we are victorious in you. And God, I pray that as we walk out our days here on earth as citizens of heaven, that we are walking it out, living like we're in heaven and not living a fearful life. So be with us today, God. Lead us, guide us, and encourage us, Father. I pray for this community. Father, we pray for this province, Father, and this nation. Father, that strongholds in this nation would be brought to their knees in Jesus' name. That the church would rise up and walk in the authority that we've been called to do. And Father, we understand that in order to do that, we've got to start putting off and putting on you. So God, I pray that we will walk in the authority you've called us to. That we would be bold with our words and that we would stand up for truth and freedom. In Jesus' name. God, we pray that we would just have an amazing week together, Father, that we would connect with each other, we would connect with our community, and we would make an impact wherever we are. So God, thank you for these opportunities as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless, guys. We will see you next week. Guys, we're going to invite you to stand. I'll invite the music team up. We're a couple guys down, or Gary's down because he's on call, but that's okay. We're going to sing a couple songs. If you need prayer, we're going to ask that you just come on up, and we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to connect with you. Otherwise, we'll close out here after a couple songs.